Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. So, folks, been off the air a little bit, taking a little break, R&R, they call it. I'm flying to Florida this afternoon, but we'll be right on the air this evening with another show, and I just wanted to sort of do an introductory show today to show that we are back, and we do miss you guys. You know, the case of Alec Baldwin, the involuntary manslaughter trial, is set to begin. And as we know, this has been a long time coming. However, the armorer, a woman named Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who you see on the screen right now, she has previously gone to trial on this case and gotten convicted, and she's currently in prison. I believe her sentence was 18 months. So the death of Helena Hutchins obviously hit everyone really in the heart, very tough case. Even though I think we all realize that no one did this on purpose. This was accidental, absolutely accidental. However, within the law, there is things that cover accidental deaths, and part of it can be viewed as negligence, criminal negligence, gross negligence. And no matter what way you slice it, this woman on the screen, Helena Hutchins, lost her life. And, you know, there's so many issues to this case. How did the one that everyone keeps mentioning, how did a live round wind up in what everyone described as a prop gun? However, a prop gun that can fire live ammo is not a prop gun. It's a real gun that's capable of firing a projectile, which is capable of killing a human being, which in fact it did do in this case of Helena Hutchins. And then, of course, the director, David Sousa, who you see on the screen right now, he was hit in the shoulder by the same round that passed through the chest of Helena Hutchins, exited her back, and hit him in the shoulder. So a great deal of examination of this Rust movie set has taken place by investigators, by the media, by civil lawsuits, by private investigators. And even though Alec Baldwin and his attorneys have tried to have the charges dropped in this case, it is going to go forward, absolutely going to go forward. And I believe it's going to start July 9th as we look at an aerial shot of the Rust movie set in New Mexico. So a New Mexico judge has ruled that actor Alec Baldwin's indictment will stand in the fatal shooting of cinematographer on the set of the film Rust. In an order on Friday, Judge Mary Marlowe Sommer turned down a motion by Baldwin's attorneys to dismiss the indictment. Baldwin therefore remains scheduled to go on trial in July for involuntary manslaughter. Nearly 3 years ago, during a rehearsal for a scene in the Western movie on a ranch outside Santa Fe, Baldwin was holding a prop gun that had been loaded with live ammunition. The Colt 45 revolver went off, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins and wounding director Joel Souza. You know, a lot of journalists, a lot of media types, a lot of broadcasters, they keep insisting that the gun went off. But based on the investigation by the FBI, the gun didn't just go off. He pulled the trigger, all right? That was the results of their investigation. And we'll get back to that a little bit later because there's some problems with that too. Because in the testing of the firearm, that 45 caliber Colt, the gun apparently was destroyed. So is that a problem that now the prosecution can't put forth the evidence of this firearm at the trial? I think it is. I think it is a problem. Even though the FBI and their ballistics experts can attest to the fact that the gun was in fact operable and the only way it could have gone off was if Mr. Baldwin pulled the trigger. And even though he insists he did not pull the trigger, that was determined scientifically that he in fact did. Baldwin, who was also a producer for the film, pled not guilty and has maintained he was not responsible for Hutchins' death. Shortly after the shooting, he told ABC News he had no idea how a live bullet got onto the set of his film, but that he did pull the trigger. In March, a jury found the film's Almer Ohana Gutierrez Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter and negligent use of a firearm. She's now serving an 18-month prison sentence. The New Mexico Environmental Department's Occupational Health and Safety Bureau issued a citation against Rust Movie Production and fined them for failures that led to Hutchins' avoidable death. So what do we got? The case against Alec Baldwin has many twists and turns. Baldwin was first charged in 2023, but New Mexico case against him faced a number of setbacks. Baldwin's attorneys fought to remove special prosecutor Andrea Reeb, a member of the New Mexico House of Representatives. She stepped down from the case. So did the district attorney who brought the case after downgrading the charges against the actor. Baldwin initially faced charges for a minimum of 5 years in prison under a firearm enhancement statute, but his legal team noted that such a law didn't take effect in New Mexico until after the Rust shooting. So it'll be interesting to see where this case goes. And look, I don't, as I said, I don't think anyone would say that anything purposely was done here, but does that matter to Helena Hutchins' family, who lost in the mind of her son, lost his mom, her husband lost his wife? So there has to be some kind of price to pay for this. So folks, hang on to your hats, hold on to your wig, hold on to your hairpiece, hold on to your service dog, your wife, your kids. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in Tampa.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
So, folks, I read in the chat, a lot of you people don't know how to take this. Like, how is there responsibility? Does anyone want to see Alec Baldwin go to prison after this? And, you know, we can discuss what really is somewhat of a nice human being he is. But you know, I'll tell you right out of the box, I don't like the guy. But I don't particularly want to see him go to prison. However, someone has to answer for this. Someone has to answer for the death of Alina Hutchins. So I don't know what the answer is, but we'll see, because after, when this case goes to trial, we will see what occurs and what occurs in the courtroom. What level of negligence was there in regards to both Alec Baldwin's actions as Alec Baldwin, the actor that undoubtedly pulled the trigger, or Alec Baldwin, the movie producer who is responsible for safety on the set. We'll determine all of those things. And after this trial, we will undoubtedly learn a lot of things about what actually occurred on that set. I want to go to Law and Crime Network and see what they have to say about this case.
His defense team, it's the biggest case that most likely that they have dealt with or will deal with for a long time. There's a lot on the line.
It's the highly anticipated jury trial, nearly 3 years in the making. A-list celebrity Alec Baldwin is finally heading to trial, years after the deadly shooting on the Rust movie set.
This is the big leagues for both sides in this case, and their tensions are running high.
Baldwin is accused of involuntary manslaughter in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, but he says he never pulled the trigger.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
That interview was years ago. So will Baldwin refresh his story and tell it to a new audience?
You run the risk of a jury saying, well, where does the line end? Where does the acting begin? And where does the acting start? Stop.
But that's not the only task Baldwin's defense now faces.
Baldwin's team has to make sure this jury understands, if they want to get an acquittal, the jury understands that a film set is not real life. A film set is unlike anything else that anyone has ever experienced before.
The trial comes months after the conviction of Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and experts say New Mexico prosecutors are still riding that high.
They know how to get a conviction in front of a Santa Fe County jury, and they know what facts work.
But that's not to say we won't see anything new.
This is really the prosecutor's chance to bring out everything that we haven't seen yet.
One thing's for sure, all eyes will be on New Mexico come next week.
And it's kind of a tortured history of this case, you know.
To get a better idea of what to expect at Alec Baldwin's coming trial, we spoke with former prosecutor and defense attorney John Day. You're right there in New Mexico on the ground in Santa Fe. What is the reaction there at this coming trial that Alec Baldwin, an A-list celebrity, is going to be on trial?
Well, there's a lot of attention in this town being paid to it. You know, New Mexico is a poor state, and so we have this film and TV program where the state kicks back tax credits to film productions, right? So Santa Fe is the scene of a lot of filming these days for the last couple of years. It's almost $1 billion that the film industry spends in New Mexico, and people are aware of what's going on. A lot of productions are shooting. A lot of Westerns are shooting. That's why Baldwin's production company came out here. They were shooting this relatively low budget Western film at a film ranch, one of these old West towns that's just a little bit out of town. It looks like an old West town that's been recreated, kind of like Disneyland. And they do a lot of productions there. So there's been a lot of attention paid to this because the film business in New Mexico is one of the few positive industries that we have, and the Baldwin shooting has garnered a ton of attention around town.
All this started on October 21st, 2021, when emergency responders were called to the Bonanza Creek Ranch in Santa Fe, New Mexico. At the time, the location was being used as a set for the low-budget Western movie Rust, the movie's producer and star, Alec Baldwin. It was between takes when rehearsing a scene that Baldwin's Colt 45 handgun went off. Cinematographer Helena Hutchins and director Joel Souza were both shot. Souza's injuries were severe. The bullet had lodged in his spine, and he was taken from the set by an ambulance. He was treated at a Santa Fe hospital and survived, but the severity was much worse for Hutchins. The bullet had passed through her upper body and she was in need of immediate care. Hutchins was airlifted to a trauma center in Albuquerque, where she later died.
I do have some very unfortunate news to tell you. She didn't make it. Yeah. So Joel's still at the hospital.
So, folks, I switched microphones. I hope you're hearing me better. I just had a little bit of a problem with the microphone. I hope it is. Let me know. Give me a thumbs up if it's sounding better with the new microphone. I had it switched out. Anyway, so some of these, there was so much negligence on this set, and not just with Alec Baldwin. You know, a movie set has to have. There has to be safety, especially when there's the use of firearms. And with that comes checks and balances. And obviously, this movie set was looking to cut expenses. They were looking to come in as cheaply as possible. And Jacqueline Johnston, thank you, manifest it from the chat. I had just had a problem with my microphone before I went on the air, and I thought it was all fixed, and apparently it wasn't. But thank you guys for pointing it out to me, and I was able to fix it on the run. How amazing is that, right? Anyway, so look, this case has been going, you know, we see all the legal maneuvers, but the bottom line is there was a great deal of negligence, and we can... The biggest issues here, and I'm going to discuss them this evening with my co-host, Michael Geary, and hopefully we'll get Phil Grimaldi to join us too. The issues that...
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
Lula Morocco says Alex's new show couldn't be filmed from his prison cell. You know, I try to keep an open mind with this. And one of the things that bothered me about Alec Baldwin's involvement in this is that he took no responsibility for it. And of course, he wants to blame everyone else. And there is a lot of blame to go around to other people in this case, specifically Helena Hutchins. And we know already, Anna Gutierrez Reed. We already know she was sentenced to 18 months in prison. And now think of all the civil suits, people that worked on this film that are now suing both Rust the production, Alec Baldwin personally, perhaps the movie's producers. And then when we think about Joel Souza, who was one of the directors on this movie, and he sustained a serious injury, you know. That's Joel Souza you see on the screen. And of course, Hannah Gutierrez Reed. The fact that she got this job as an armorer in itself was negligence. She had no business being the armorer on a movie. She was not qualified to be the armorer on the set of a major motion picture, which resulted in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. So all of those things give us enough pause and enough reason to find more negligence on this set. And when they interview people that worked on this movie set, they said it was very fast and loose, that there was not a lot of safety standards. They were not following the safety standards. So with all of those things, it's absolutely a disaster, and it turned into a disaster. And whenever someone loses their life on a movie set, you know, it's movies, whether it's TV, whatever it is, there has to be, the laws cover all of this, you know, the laws that cover, you know, illegal or criminal negligent use of a firearm. And that's why the man you see on the screen right there is now being charged with involuntary manslaughter, potentially could be charged with, you know, reckless use of a firearm. We'll see what the charges ultimately become. But again, the case is going to start, on July 9th. Mr. Baldwin has really not taken responsibility for what occurred in this case.
The other person involved didn't make it.
That was just the start of the controversy. In the months after the shooting, news broke about alleged negligence on the set. Before the deadly shooting, there had been two accidental firings of blank rounds, and several crew members had resigned out of safety concerns. The investigation soon zeroed in on Baldwin because he was holding the weapon, but also 24-year-old Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the movie's armorer. Reports noted that Gutierrez Reed was inexperienced as an armorer, and prosecutors alleged negligence. The timeline of the case has a bit of a back and forth, with a switch of prosecutors in New Mexico, charges filed, dropped, and then filed once again. There was a bit of back and forth because after this happened way back in 2021, we weren't sure whether charges were going to be filed. Then they were dropped, then they were charged once again. So why do you think that prosecutors down in New Mexico really stuck with this involuntary manslaughter this time around?
Well, you've got to go back, and there's kind of a tortured history of this case. You know, there was a DA involved, the elected district attorney in Santa Fe, and then she brought in a special prosecutor who then had to drop out because she was running for office, and then they brought in new special prosecutors. So I mean, it's been a bit of a mess getting to this point in the prosecution. But at the end of the day, the theory seems to be by all the different prosecutors on this case that in New Mexico, if you're handling a gun that's a real gun, you are responsible for what comes out of the end of the barrel. You are responsible for knowing what's in there. And so their theory seems to be, doesn't matter if it was a film set, it doesn't matter, you know, what the circumstances were, this was a real gun, and whoever was holding it is going to be held responsible for whatever happens to come out of that barrel.
Ultimately, both Baldwin and Gutierrez Reed were charged with involuntary manslaughter. Gutierrez Reed's trial came first, and a verdict was handed down in March of this year.
We find the defendant, Hannah Gutierrez, guilty of involuntary manslaughter as charged in count one. We find the defendant, Hannah Gutierrez, not guilty of tampering with evidence, destruction count two.
Gutierrez Reed would go on to receive the maximum sentence for that conviction, 18 months in prison. That's the same sentence Baldwin now faces for the same charge. So the specific charge that Alec Baldwin is facing is involuntary manslaughter. And here on Law and Crime, I cover a lot of first-degree murder, second-degree, but not as many involuntary manslaughter. So can you really break down that charge for me?
Right. It's the lowest level homicide charge. Basically, it means somebody died and somebody did something that didn't amount to a serious crime that led to the death. Was it some recklessness? Was it negligence? What was it that caused the inadvertent, unintentional death of another person? And, you know, in New Mexico, we've seen this used most recently in the conviction of Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the armorer on this case. She's now doing 18 months in a women's prison because a jury found her guilty of involuntary manslaughter. It's technically the same charge that Alec Baldwin is facing. The alleged facts are a little bit different, but at the end of the day, he's also facing a fourth degree felony, lowest level felony, involuntary manslaughter charge.
Law and Crime followed Gutierrez Reed's 10-day trial, where we heard from weaponry experts, firsthand witnesses like Joel Souza, and saw videos from the Rust set. You alluded to this a bit before, but we already saw a trial with the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and we saw the outcome. She was convicted and now is serving a prison sentence. So could that almost be a roadmap for what we could see in the coming Alec Baldwin trial?
I think it is exactly a roadmap. What we've seen is the prosecution team has already had one bite at the apple here. They've had one chance to fine-tune their present.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
To fine-tune the prosecution, you know, and that's what's, I think, confusing in the minds of some people. It's like they've already found one person accountable. One person has been held criminally liable for the death of Alina Hutch, the photographer, on Rust. And so in the minds of a lot of people, why is Alec Baldwin also being tried when the armorer, the young armorer, has already been convicted and sentenced to prison? And that's one of the issues that I think is dividing a lot of people, not just in New Mexico, but around the country. It's why, when there's already been this person held criminally liable, why is Alec Baldwin also facing charges?
You know, very interesting. And I see a lot of you guys in the chat have been saying, well, you don't point guns at people and pull the trigger. Now, of course, his whole argument is that he did not pull the trigger, but scientists that tested this gun said, yes, you absolutely did pull the trigger, resulting in Helena Hutchins' death. And, you know, getting back to the whole negligence thing is that Hannah Gutierrez Reed, an armorer on the movie who was unqualified to be an armorer, she was already convicted. So would you argue that her culpability is less than Alec Baldwin? Alec Baldwin, in fact, pulled the trigger. Lou Lemaraco, thank you so much for the $5 super sticker. Welcome to the show. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, you're in the right place. If you're not subscribed, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, and join our family. And if you want to contribute to us, we have a Patreon with four different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. I'm reading a lot of what you guys are saying in the chat, and Hunter, ex-angler, he enabled the whole situation. Sherry Wilson, he knows he pulled the trigger. Well, I think that, you know, one of the things, Lou, I like that. No need to thank me, Ken, and thank you. Well, thank you anyway. Carly, they were cutting a lot of corners on that set, and Baldwin was the one in charge. Yeah, well, he was a producer. And yes, with that title comes responsibility for safety, right? Pessa from the chat, crew walked off that set for safety reasons right before the shooting. Yes, absolutely. You know, this evening, as I said, at 9 o'clock, 9:30, I'm going to have Professor Mike Geary, and hopefully Phil Grimaldi will join us, and we're going to do a deeper dive into this case and some of the legal issues. But the legal issues being, and I think the number one thing is criminal negligence. And this set reeks of criminal negligence, of people being unsafe, people not going by the rules, people not practicing safe firearms control. And all of those things can lead to a criminal negligent homicide ruling by the jury. Be more from the chat. If there was any doubt of Alex's culpability, he basically incriminated himself with all his nonstop self-snitching. You know, be more, I agree in a way that I don't think he should have really. He went around to all of his friends in the media trying to get on their shows and talking about how innocent he was. I think if anything, that hurt him rather than helped him. Pretzel Logic, isn't that a Steely Dan album? Legal issues according to who? Union. No, legal issues according to the law. You're still, whether you're on a movie set or whether you're on a carousel or whether you're on in a school, whether you're in a shopping mall, the laws are the laws of the state and the laws of the federal government. The laws of the state define what criminal negligence is, criminal use of a firearm, involuntary manslaughter. Those are the legal issues. But one of the big things, of course, is that Jacqueline Johnson Baldwin is narcissistic. You know, Jacqueline, he's all of those things, but I try to put that behind me in trying to be fair about examining this case. And whether you like Alec Baldwin or not, that doesn't come into play. What comes into play is his actions. If after a trial he's convicted, will this come into play in regards to possible a sentence? Can a judge say upon sentencing, you took absolutely no responsibility for this? You're still denying your culpability. Therefore, because of that, I sentence you to A, B, C. Could a judge possibly do that? I think so.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
But right now, I don't think it's our job to judge him on how he lives his life or who he is or that he's arrogant, he's this, he's that. That's not really has anything to do with this. What really has to do with this is his actions and also the culpability of the entire movie set in regards to what occurred on this movie set. Let's go back to Law and Crime. We'll put this back up on the screen.
I want to thank Morgan & Morgan for sponsoring this news story.
Basic roadmap is going to be the same. That the overarching theory by the prosecution is these people are responsible one way or the other. In the case of Baldwin, it seems like they're using these sort of double-barreled theory. One is he was holding the gun. He should have known what was in there. Even if someone on a movie set says, hey, this is a safe gun, you don't have to worry about what's in there, The theory of the prosecution seems to be, it doesn't matter what somebody tells you, you have to check for yourself. The second part of their theory seems to be, Baldwin is an executive producer, basically a CEO of this production, and there's evidence, according to the prosecution, that he was running he was trying to rush things along. It was a low budget production. They hired people who didn't know what they were doing. There was a lot of emphasis on moving quickly to try to save money. And the prosecutor's theory seems to be that led to recklessness. That led to this criminal recklessness that led to a death. And so they're going after him under the sort of double-barreled, no pun intended, theory that he was this person who not only did he hold the gun, not only should he have checked to see what was in the gun, but it was his recklessness and pushing this production along and not spending time on safety issues, not spending time on making sure that the set was safe, that people understood the safe procedures and things like that. So they're going after him. Two different theories. It could be that both theories get to a jury and a jury gets to decide. You know, at the end of the day, we don't know how much of this is actually going to get in front of a jury, but that seems to be where the prosecutors are going.
And while prosecutors might repeat some of the things we heard in the past trial, Day expects we will see some new information too. When we followed along with Hannah Gutierrez Reed's trial, we saw some clips from the movie, the shooting, a little bit of behind the scenes things. So we kind of already have an idea of some of the evidence that prosecutors would bring forth. Do you think that they'll have additional new elements that we haven't yet seen?
It seems like there are going to be a number of things that were not presented in the Hannah Gutierrez Reed trial that Alec Baldwin's trial will see. There's a lot of talk already about emphasizing what he was like on the set. The prosecutors in their pretrial pleadings have talked about him being sort of this autocratic, tyrannical guy who was running roughshod over the crew. He was putting this emphasis on moving things along quickly. And that's obviously going to be one of the avenues that the prosecutors are going to follow, which was he was the driving force behind this sort of reckless, negligent approach to safety on the set. Now, we didn't see that necessarily as much in the Hannah Gutierrez Reed trial, although they certainly alluded to some of it. So this is really the prosecutor's chance to bring out everything that we haven't seen yet. And is there going to be evidence we haven't heard of? Not so much. I mean, I think we know generally what's going to be coming down the road because there have been so many pretrial motions and hearings and, Baldwin's team, it's a really fantastic team of lawyers. They're litigating this thing the way that they should. And he's certainly getting his money's worth. At the end of the day, though, it hasn't led to many victories for him. This judge seems to want to let this jury decide this case.
So we can likely predict what prosecutors will say. Baldwin was responsible as a producer on the movie and was negligent in that regard, pushing the production forward even when safety concerns had been brought to his attention. So what could we expect from the defense? So let's talk about Baldwin's team, because we've spoken a bit about prosecutors, but on the opposite end of things, what do you think they're going to bring forward as far as a defense? What sort of tactics could they be employing?
Right. Baldwin's team has to do, basically, they have one job, and that is to convince the Santa Fe County jury that a film set, a movie set, is unlike real life. On a film set, people are bringing you coffee. They're putting your shoes on your feet. They're brushing your hair. They're putting your makeup on. They're telling you where to go. They're telling you where to sit. They're telling you when you can take a break. And so if someone hands you a gun and says this gun is safe, why should you be thinking anything otherwise? So Baldwin's team has to make sure this jury understands, if they want to get an acquittal, the jury understands that a film set is not real life. A film set is unlike anything else that anyone has ever experienced before. And if they can do that successfully, they'll get an acquittal or at the very least a hung jury.
What sort of witnesses do we feel that the defense would bring on in order to do that, your theory, showing that Hollywood or a film set is a little bit different than real life? Do you think Baldwin himself could take the stand?
You know, that's such an interesting question. Who knows if he's going to take the stand? I mean, it cuts both ways, because if you're a defense lawyer and your client is an actor, you run the risk of a jury saying, well, where does the line end? Where does the acting begin? And where does the acting start? Stop. He's a compelling person in a lot of ways. Is he going to take the stand? I have no idea. I mean, I've been doing prosecution and defense for years. And of course, the rule of thumb is you don't want your client on the stand. But this case is unlike any other. And, you know, there's been nothing like it, at least in our experience. The witnesses that they're going to have to present, experts, people who can educate a jury in a very sort of appealing and amiable way about film sets, because most people on this jury are not going to have any idea of what life is like on a movie set. And if Baldwin's expert witnesses, if his people can say, look, let me explain a film set to you. This is what it is. And there's no reason that Alec Baldwin should have had any reason to doubt that the gun that somebody handed him was anything but safe. They're going to have people who can lay that out in a very clear and convincing way to a jury that film sets are not real life.
You know, I think that that's a compelling argument that this attorney is making. However, it doesn't mean anything, because a movie set, in a bigger sense of the word, is part of the state that the movie sets in. Because the movie set, even though an artificial environment perhaps, still is guided by and enforced by the laws of that state. So if there's gross negligence, I don't care if it's a movie set, I don't care if it's Disney World, they have to abide by the laws. And if the laws, obviously look what's going on. 3 years after this shooting, Alec Baldwin is going to trial. And, you know, this attorney speaking, he's very knowledgeable, but I don't think it matters to anyone, particularly to the jury, that this was a movie set. They're going to be asked to apply the law, whether it was a movie set. As I said, I don't want to use all my other examples, Disneyland, a zoo, a school, anything. The laws of that state apply. So to think that, you know, look, the whole concept of this thing is that, yeah, there was gross negligence here. And it all started with the producers of this film, who took it fast and loose, cut corners, cut prices, hired an armorer who was not qualified. And one of the biggest issues, I was having a discussion with this with some family members. How did a live round get put in that gun? No one seems to know the answer of that. At least no one's admitting to that. Why were there even live rounds on the set of that movie? Why? I mean, is that not an issue? Yes, but okay. A live round was put in that gun. The armorer was responsible for checking that gun, right? Apparently, in this movie, there was a gentleman named David Halls, who was an assistant director. And he, here he is on the stand. He handed the gun to Alec Baldwin and said, cold gun, basically meaning it was a safe gun. Was it Alec Baldwin's responsibility at that point to check the gun himself, to look inside it? Or should David Halls have spun the cylinder and showed him what was inside that gun? And first of all, the assistant director wasn't supposed to be the person handing Alec Baldwin the gun. It was supposed to be the armorer. So again, fast and loose, or zero safety on this movie. No safety, because it resulted in this man, David Souza, being shot after the Rust cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, was shot and killed. And that same bullet went through her body and lodged in Joel Souza's shoulder, causing a serious physical injury. So these are the things that the jury has to decide. This is the case that the prosecution is going to present. Whether this man here is a movie star or not doesn't mean anything. He is subject to the same laws, the same rules, the same courts, the same juries as everyone else. And as was proven, Hannah Gutierrez Reed is now in prison because she did a negligent job and caused the death. It was decided her lack of doing her job caused the death of Helena Hutchins and the shooting of David Souza. So could these same rules, these same things that occurred to Hannah Gutierrez Reed be used against Alec Baldwin? And in my opinion, yes, they can. They absolutely can, and they will. So it doesn't matter. Again, some of you guys in the chat, I want to... Jacqueline Johnston manifested, "It reminds me of Rush Stockton and the Titan submersible, cutting costs and not listening. Both Baldwin and Stockton are Aries, known for being hasty and ego-based thinking in Aries men." Well, Jacqueline, thank you for that comment. Sour Girl, "Always double check what's handed to you. Good Lord." You know, I just want to say more people are killed every year with empty guns. And that seems impossible, isn't it? It is impossible, because guns are never empty. And if you take that posture that a gun is never empty, then you will never have what's called an accidental discharge. You know, I lived with a gun, well, while I was on the job for 27 years, and since I've been off, so I lived with a gun for 40 years. And I take very seriously firearm safety. You know, I don't fool around with the gun. I unload it the same way every time. I put it away. I lock it back. I take out the magazine. I make sure the gun, as the range would teach us every single time we went to the firearms range, do a visual and physical inspection of your firearm to make sure that it is empty. So that little mantra as in my brain throughout my police career, do a physical and a visual inspection to make sure your gun is empty, right? Suhaila, what's your opinion on the crew? Oh, you guys are talking about a different movement. Lula Morocco, "Baldwin, it finally has caught up with you. Stop denying it." Well, you know, some of the things he also did with this case that I thought was a bit bizarre was that he settled the civil suit with Helena Hutchins' husband prior to this criminal trial. I never thought that that really made much sense. Perhaps he thought that there was not going to be a criminal trial. But usually the civil case comes way after the criminal case. Did he think that he could get out of the way, getting out in front of this, as said by some journalist, before there was a criminal case, perhaps pay a lower damages? I never saw that before. Sherry Wilson with "High Tech, there's no reason to have guns with bullets on any set anywhere." Sherry Wilson, I think that'll probably be Hollywood going forward. Yeah, Lula Morocco, "Cannon never pointed a gun at anyone except a bad guy." That's for sure, you know. And even when I pointed a gun at a bad guy, unless it was, I felt that I might have to shoot imminently, my finger would be outside the trigger guard so that there would be no accidents. And that's how we're trained on the NYPD, because you could pull the trigger of a firearm just by being startled. So you don't want there to be an accident like that. So you got to take precautions. The professional police officer thinks in those terms. Be more. "I don't think Alec listens to anyone for suggestions or criticisms. He's got a hot temper and people don't want to cross him." You know, be more. I agree. He's displayed this erratic temperament. But I think if you put yourself in the place of a juror, you have to sort of not prejudice yourself with Alec Baldwin's previous behavior. You have to just think of what the charges are, what the evidence is, and how to apply the law. Because if you think, wouldn't it be pre-prejudicing yourself against him if we take into consideration that you don't like him? And that like shouldn't come into it. Carly, "Get on her family's good side. Rosemary Pinella, this was a terrible accident. Very sad. He's a great actor. And as a father and husband, very sad." Rosemary Pinella, I agree with all of that, except the law applies to everyone. And no matter who you are, you have to face the music. Will or nots? I'd love to know the backstory on the choice of location, why New Mexico over backlots of Hollywood, of course, were important. I'm thinking no one would work on Fast and Loose scheme, just wondering out loud. Will or nots, this Rust film location apparently is used by many film companies for shooting Westerns. It's a great location. And sometimes those are more conducive to shooting a film than one of these Hollywood lots. Suhaila A., I've never liked his personality, entertaining Trump appreciation, other roles, not blaming that, but maybe kind of sort of, though, thinking out loud. Yeah, I mean, it's easy for us to get caught up in not liking the man, but that doesn't really come into play. Emily, he should get same sentence as Hannah. 18 months is a small price to pay, and I think that is his max. Well, Emily, before he would get a sentence like that, he would have to get convicted, and he has not yet been convicted. Who knows if he will, right? Carly, I think it's a little weird, but at the end of the day, someone died at his hands. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Michelle DeMattis. Hey, Sergeant Bill. Hello, Michelle. Hello, hello. Hunter X Angler. They've done 1,000 films out at the Bonanza Creek Ranch. Absolutely. All of these are movie sets they've done tons of work at. And it's, I mean, when you look at the set, it's probably got every single thing they need to shoot this type of movie, to shoot a Western, you know. It's so absolutely. And you wouldn't have to use a Hollywood lot, because this is almost like the real thing, you know, the real thing, the real location. And you know, if we even take a look back at Hannah Gutierrez Reed trial, you know, I never expect.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.
I never thought that she would get convicted. I thought that she was going to walk. I really did. I just felt that, that perhaps they would take into consideration that this was an accident, but there was gross negligence on this set. This is a little bit of Hannah Gutierrez Reed trial.
But most importantly, what we want to do is give you the information that you need to answer two key questions. The first being, what are the events that happened on the set of Rust that led to the death of Helena Hutchins? And the second question is, how did live ammunition end up on the set of the movie? As to both questions, we believe that it was the negligent acts and failures of the defendant, Ms. Gutierrez, that resulted in both the acts that contributed to Ms. Hutchins' death and to the live rounds being brought onto the set. A bit later on, I'm going to explain to you exactly how we believe that happened. Give me just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Helena Hutchins. This is the victim in the case that we're here to deal with this morning. Ms. Hutchins was born in Ukraine on April 9th, 1979. She was married. Her husband's name is Matthew, and she has one son who was 9 years old at the time of her death. As a child, Ms. Hutchins lived on a Russian military base located in the Arctic. She took an early and keen interest in film and journalism. She studied both economics and journalism at the Kiev National University, where she received a degree in international journalism. Ms. Hutchins met her husband, Matthew, when she was working in the United States in Los Angeles, California. They hit it off so well that they eventually got married. And when Ms. Hutchins moved and immigrated into the United States, she continued her education and she eventually earned a master's degree in 2015 from the American Film Institute Conservatory.
So, folks, they're just sort of giving you, this was the trial of Hannah Gutierrez Reed, giving you a little background of who Helena Hutchins is, to humanize her in the face of the jury and to realize that, you know, this is who lost her life. This was quite a vibrant human being. This is a human being who people loved, a husband, a son, other family members. This is a person who worked very hard that would have made a big impact on this world had she lived. Her life was taken from her through negligence. So, folks, that's what I think we're going to be looking at in the Alec Baldwin trial also. Now, I want to tell you guys we're going to go on tonight at 9. We're going to cover this much more in depth with Professor Mike Geary, hopefully retired NYPD Detective Phil Grimaldi. I'm flying this afternoon to Florida, so I didn't want to do a long show, but I want to come on the air and introduce where we're going with this case. So, everyone, I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you this evening.
One episode just ain't enough. Get a laughter, get an interview. You made the best thing you can do.
Okay, people, let's talk about clustomers. A clustomer is what happens when marketers fail to personalize their marketing, grouping customers with different behaviors, different interests, motivators, purchase patterns, you name it, all into one tangled mess. But with MailChimp, marketers can untangle that mess using real-time behavior data to personalize every email you send. Turn clustomers into customers with Intuit MailChimp, the number one AI-powered email marketing and automation platform now with SMS.